皆さんこんにちは。自分自身の生き方や美しさを大切にするポッドキャスト You Do You へようこそ。私ユーナとハナが一女性として日本で暮らすにあたり感じることをガールズトークしていきます。みんな違ってみんないい、そんな楽しい社会を目指しながら、真面目なトピックからエクサイティングなものまでお送りしていきます。なかなか気づけないこと、普段から気になっていたこと、一瞬立ち止まって一緒に考えてみませんか？
Hi, welcome to You Do You, a podcast about honoring your most beautiful, authentic self. We don't live in a one-size-fits-all world. We dance to the beat of our own drum. We embrace what's human and what makes life interesting. Yuna and I are here to discuss what this means when it comes to living in Japan.
Okay, welcome back to You Do You guys. Today we're going to talk about things that we feel like we can't talk about in Japan on this podcast. 皆さんこんにちは。私たちはこのポッドキャストでいろんなことを今まで喋ってきましたが、喋っちゃいけなそうな、特に日本で喋っちゃいけなそうなことを、今日は喋ってみます。
喋ってみますね。ということで。ちょっと難しいけど。
What do you think is...Some of the things, like while you were living in Tokyo, what do you think are some of the things that you weren't able to talk about openly in Japan?
まあ、ちょっとなんか話しにくい話題というかわかんないけど、例えばね、なんかイギリスにいるとき、いつもあのなんか理事総理とかあの政府はどうやってあの政府のバジェットをあの、その予算を尽くすのか、そういう話、なんかよくあるから、結構なんか、友達とか家族とか、あの、話し合うけど、あの、日本だったら、まあ、ニュースに出る、あの、ちょっとね、そういう、あの、トピック、そういうディスカッションだけど、友達と話す、うん、時はあんまりないよね。
うんうん、
なんでだろう。
わかる、うん。あんまり政治のことについてそもそも日本ってあんまり喋らない気がしていて、うん。うん、なんか、私はなんかその比較がどうしてもスリランカになるんだけど、スリランカにいるときはみんなめっちゃ政治の話をしていた。
うんうんうん、
で、なんか、その、彼らにとってその選挙とか政治とかが、結構自分たちの生活に直接的にすごい関係してくるけど、うん、なんか日本だとあんまりそれが特にこう不便がない人からしたらあんまりやっぱり自分たちの生活にダイレクトに影響しないっていうのもあるのかなって思って、
うん、
so,
ちょっとなんか政治に任せるって感じあるよね。
うんうん、yeah. なんか even for likeThe voting percentage is really low in Japan still. And yeah. even if people do go voting, especially in the Kanto area, there's a lot of people who still vote blank. And voting blank kind of, you know, it also accelerates like a shitty person to be a politician as well. So,
yeah, I think we're not really, I mean, I didn't grow up in Japan. So for me,I find it hard to comment too much on it because I don't have like the, I don't feel like I have the full context. But I know that, you know, sometimes when I work with kids who are from Japan and things like that, like it takes a little bit more work to, get them to kind of think about things and like, well, form an opinion. I think that's it. It's like forming an opinion and, being quite vocal about it without,feeling like you're kind of overstepping the mark or something like that. And I think that extends to the voting culture and and overall, like I just said in Japanese, like I feel like there's a lot of trust in the government and there's a lot of trust that you'll be looked after anyway. So there's not, like you said with the Sri Lankan situation, there's not so much of, oh, this is going to change me directly and my life directly.Because whatever the outcome, you're kind of sort of going to be in a safety net and things are going to be okay. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the feeling.
No,
I
you're totally right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I completely agree. And when you said, like, you know, a lot of Japanese students find it hard to vocalize or form their own opinions, I think it's also because, like, in education, especially like for primary school and stuff, the major part of schooling is very, you know, it's not about forming your own opinion, but it's about listening to what the teacher says and noting everything down and getting good scores. And it's not about discussions or having your own opinions or, you know, it's more about input than output education overall in Japan. So I think they're very good at like learning or like inputting or like understanding what somebody else is saying, but I think they're very bad at forming their own opinions based on like what their belief is and such. So I think, as you said, that does lead to like voting, like not being able to form their own opinion to vote.
I mean, big question. Do you vote?
Yeah, I do. When I have like my Jumin here in Japan, I vote in Japan. But even when I had my Jumin here in Sri Lanka, I would still vote through the embassy.
Yeah, so it's always been quite important to you.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, like, I feel like, I don't. It is interesting though why these things are hard to talk about. Like, of course, like, in a situation where, let's say here I was to have a conversation, or even like, let's say on a dating profile, right? Politics can be so dividing, right? So if I'm on a dating profile, like, I'm probably a little bit more left, and if I see someone's like very conservative. Or I guess another thing that might be hard to talk about is religion, right? So if I can see that someone's also very religious, like, it does make me go a bit, ooh, maybe not for me. Which, I think that in itself shows that I'm not very open either, actually. Or maybe it's different because if you're thinking about a future partner, you want to have these things in common. But I don't know. It is funny how these are quite divisive.
I mean, like for religion, like we still talk about it. Like, you know, in Europe or in the States or even Sri Lanka, we talk about religion. We don't necessarily have to agree on the same religion or like the same belief, but we do still have like the concept of what is a religion. Whereas in Japan, we don't really get much educational information about religion in general because so much of us, like the majority of us, are non-religious. A lot of people think Japan is a Buddhist country, and I mean, it is a Buddhist country, but a lot of the people here are no longer religious. So I think in general, we don't really have the opportunity to touch the concept of religion since we're very small. Therefore, I think somehow we have like this feeling that it's kind of taboo to talk about religion in general, like even between friends. So that is definitely like another topic that we don't talk about. But however, I do think we should at least learn that there are multiple religions in this world and what it triggers and such, because in terms of the religion sector, like Japanese people are so very behind.
But I guess as well, that goes back to like a historical thing of like just being quite a homogeneous country. Like, most people are still Japanese, and there is little pockets where you have different kind of like diaspora and like people from other countries and things like that. But I think it, yeah, there isn't, I mean, in school, do you have a bit of education about other religions as well?
Well, I went to a Protestant school, so we did like read the Bible, sing song like songs that you would sing at the church and stuff, but nobody was doing it thinking like in depth what being a Protestant was. I mean, like none of us were Protestant, even though we went to this school, including myself. So, and let alone talk about other religions was a thing that we never did or learned.
Yeah, I guess,
The
yeah.
only, yeah,
I was
I
just
mean,
gonna
the
say,
only time that, yeah, go ahead.
Also, can I just say, side note, at the moment I am hating my laugh.
Why?
Because it's turned into like...
Because you have a sore throat?
Well, that too, but I think it's turned into like a Janice from Friends laugh recently.
No, it hasn't.
I hear myself like laughing.
I would cut off the phone if it was for him like that.
Like, so I'm trying, I need to retrain.
No, it doesn't sound like Janice, don't worry.
Okay, what does it in there? See, oh, quack. Okay, but I'm not gonna, okay, no, hoga, kawaii ka na, no. Okay, so desu ne, nanka, ano, international school ni itte, shogakko ne. で、その小学校で、なんか、イスラム人が多くて、あとなんか、あの、Jewish people とか、あと、まあ、なんか、ヒンディとか、いろんななんか、あの、国の人が、そのスペースシェアしたから、いつも、あの、お互いに、like, this is my food, this is my culture, this is my presentation, do presentation, or like, share. So, you know, I got quite used to having it being really rich. So, for me, that was really normal. Mm.And
right.
I think sometimes because, yeah, there isn't so much of that in some places or some areas, or depending on like who your friendship groups or who your community is. But like, I think I mentioned it in a previous episode, but I was really shocked when one of my volunteers from when I was doing the business incubator, she's really, really sweet, really, really lovely person.But she, you know, she was from Malaysia and she had a headscarf. And because of that, she found it so hard to get a job because people had so many ideas about, you know, what it means to have a headscarf these things in Japan. And I think it's just, it's not a case of, you know, people being particularly like...it's not like maliciousness.But it's more to do with kind of
not knowing. Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
And the kind of awkwardness of not knowing. And then, you know, would this person have to like pray, you know, at certain times of day? Would this person have to do these things? So rather than actually going that extra step in trying to understand the other religion or like the culture, it's just easier just to say no.
Right.
Which I thought was a shame.
Yeah, I mean, like, as you said, like, I think in Japan, when you see something or someone which is very different from what you have, you know, had contact with in the past, like, they tend to name it or, like, categorize it immediately. So I think, like, for the case of your friend, like, I feel like a lot of Japanese categorize her to something, someone with a very particular different religion. Like, I feel like we talked about this in the past as well, but in general, a lot of Japanese people are not really good at welcoming something or someone which is very different. So I don't think they would be, like, willing or very welcoming for her to, you know, work at their workplace or something like that. Like, I could imagine.
I think it also kind of depends on the situation though as well. Like, people also surprise me. Like, I was just talking to the neighbor the other day and he was explaining how, like, he lived in Japan in, like, the 90s as, like, a young student. And he worked in an izakaya and lived with a Japanese family. And the Japanese family were very busy, so they weren't there. But Oba-chan was always at home. And he had a very special relationship with Oba-chan. Like, back then, there weren't so many foreigners in the country. And she was just so nice and so open. And she thought, you know, there would be more... he thought there would be more friction or, you know, kind of, like, kind of feeling of, like, yeah, that kind of outsider or you're not from my culture or maybe even some, ideas about how someone from his country might be. But he was like, no, she was amazing. I can't believe, like, it was such a beautiful experience. So, you know, I feel like I'm making really big generalizations, but there are so many really beautiful exceptions. And
that's definitely, true. I mean, like, it's very hard to talk about a topic. Most of our topics that we talk on our podcast, like, we do tend to generalize in a very, you know, 大きな主語で話す癖が。But, I mean, I don't like doing that as well. But at the same time, you know, it is also a fact.
Mm.
You know, the balance is very hard. But as you said, like, I'm very glad that your neighbor had a very good experience in Japan as well, because I think it's like, at the end of the day, it's really like who you meet, like wherever you are, like even if it's not Japan, wherever you are, I think it's who you meet and like how they treat you, kind of. Yeah, like that becomes the memory of your life in that country. So like, I think some of the people that I know in Japan who used to live in Sri Lanka, like some of them really hate the country because of what they experienced and like who they were with, you know, a lot of lying and things like that. But like for me, I met a lot of people and, you know, I felt very welcomed. So I have a very positive view of the country. So I think it's, yeah, like for individuals, I think it's who you meet.
And that relationship is still continuing.
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah, it's a funny thing though, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I guess like when we're discussing these things, we're just talking, you know, I think there's
what we experience, yeah.
What we experience, but also like, you know, there's definitely like an overall, of course there are exceptions and there are many exceptions, but there is like an overall kind of,
yeah, there is.
Like keiko, like a trend or like, I don't think it's isolated incidents of like people feeling like how like my volunteer felt or like things like that, or like, you know, sexism, for example, or like even when like I had an interview and, you know, they were like, oh, you know, how do you feel having a Japanese name but never being able to speak like a native?
Oh, I remember. That sucks. Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Also,
politics, politics, religions, and what else? I think you mentioned, like, before doing this podcast, I mean, this episode, you mentioned that periods were one thing that you felt like you couldn't talk about in Japan. And to some point, I agree. Like, when I was working in a private sector when I was in my early 20s, it was very hard for me to tell. I mean, like, I actually never did tell, like, my boss, like, I have, you know, say it's like PMS. So it's very hard for me to work fully at the moment, or like, I want to take a day off work. I've never said that because I know that none of the people would accept that. But at the same time, I think slowly these days, people are able to talk a little bit more about, like, PMS and being very, having pain during periods and things like that. And there was, so yesterday, for the first time in perhaps like 2 years, I was able to go running despite the fact that it was my second day of my period. And usually I have a lot of pain, but somehow like this month I don't feel any pain at all and I was able to run. So I was very happy for it. So I put on my Instagram stories, like, I'm so happy that I was able to run after a long time, even though it's my period. And what surprised me was a lot of Japanese guys in their 30s responded like, yokatta ne, to that story. It's like, not in like a creepy way, but like in general, like, yokatta ne kind of thing. And that surprised me because I feel like if it was 10 years ago, people will be like, what? Is she writing on Instagram stories? Like, she doesn't have to tell the whole world that she's too on her personal period right now, you know?
Yeah.
So I felt like there's a little bit of change.
That's really positive. Yeah. And I'm so glad you got to run on your second day and that you're pain-free. What changed?
I don't know what changed. I hope it changed like this. It stays like this. But
そうそう、なんか生理の話とかも結構その政治とか宗教同様にあんまり
日本ではしないかもっていうのをちょうどこのエピソードをね、話す前に花と言ってたんですけど、でもなんか20、あ、20前じゃない、私が20歳の頃とか、まあ、20代前半の頃って、<笑>で、なんか生理で仕事休みたいとか生理痛があるとかってあんまり会社の中でも言わなくて、まあ男社会だからっていうのもあったんですけど、全然そういうの口にするのがちょっとできなかったけど、 なんかちょうど昨日生理中だったけど、ランニングをすることができて、で、久々に痛みがなくって、それがすごい嬉しかったから、まあインスタのストーリーズに生理中だけど走れた、1年ぶりくらいだからすごい嬉しいみたいなことを書いたら、なんか全然予想に反して、結構同年代30代とかの男性が よかったねみたいなことをそこにコメントしてきて、全然その変な意味じゃなく、結構みんな普通に、あ、よかったねとか、女性って大変だよねみたいな感じでコメントをくれて、なんか昔だったら、なんかそんな自分が生理なことを世にさらすなよじゃないけど、なんかちょっとみたいな風潮になるかなと思ったところを、なんか結構みんな普通にコメントをしてきてくれたことに、なんかちょっと変化を感じた。
うんうんうんうん、よかったね
I think it's also like the commercials on TV, it's changed. I mean, they wouldn't like aggressively, you know, do like tampons and napkin commercials before. Whereas now, like a lot of commercials, not just for napkins and tampons, but even for like painkillers, like there's this, you know, actress on this commercial saying like, you know, it's really, really painful for some women and like,blah, blah, blah, so this painkiller helps, kind of. I feel like, you know, to vocalize things like that, like, it's changed a little bit.
よかったね。なんか、あの、スパットニックをしてる、その、アーティスト。スパットニック。Anyways,
わかんない。
あの、イギリスと日本のハーフなんですけど、あの、ちょっと、
あ、知ってる、知ってる。うん。
Yeah, I can never say it in, like, スパチニコ。スパニ
ツコ。スパニツコ。
発音わかんない、難しい。じゃあ、英語のスパツニコをね、言うけど。
Is she known? Is she known in the UK as well?
No, 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 no. I know her from Japan.
Okay.
I think she teaches at, like, University of Tokyo. でも、she does a lot of work in, like, women's health. And she made like an avatar for like this virtual world, and she made her avatar have a bleeding pants, and to kind of make a statement about like periods, and she does a lot of stuff around periods and things like that. But because she did this, she got a lot of feedback saying your avatar can't have period. There's no period in the virtual world. And she was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, is this just like a world where like women can't be women and there's no periods anymore? Or like, I don't know. It was just quite an interesting discussion that followed afterwards. Like, what's okay and what's not okay? I was quite surprised by that. In the virtual world, you're not allowed to have your period. Sorry. But you can make babies though.But no period.
But what happened? Like, did she take it down or is it still there?
I don't know. It'd be worth looking up. I can't remember quite how it ended, but I'm sure she got it. I'm sure she kept it, knowing her. she's a bit of a rebel. I feel like, it was quite an interesting kind of like idea that the period isn't allowed. But I don't know. Like, I feel very differently about my period now. I'm feeling like period power. Riding the waves and riding my hormone cycle like as it is. But again, like I would have never got that information from being in Japan. Like I said to you before, when I went to try get full, I wasn't feeling so great. So
you told me.
Yeah, I went to the women's health clinic and I asked for a full blood. Oh my gosh, what do you call that? What's the word for when you get your blood checked and they check lots of different things. Blood work.
血液検査?
Yeah. So that they were blood work to get my blood. But there's another word for it anyway, it doesn't matter. We know what we're talking about. I went to go get my full blood work because I was like, I want to see what's going on with my hormones. Like, I want to be able to kind of figure some things out. And it would have been great if I would have had those conversations with the doctor, right? If the doctor could have given me advice based on you know, the female hormones that I had and that balance and maybe looking at my iron and things like that. And she was so reluctant to give me the blood test. She was like, as far as I'm concerned, your problem started when you stopped the pill. So you should just go back on the pill. And I was like, no, that's not when my problem started. And also, like, going back on the pill, would that really fix an iron deficiency? Would that fix the other stuff? So I feel like these are some of the things that are also still hard to talk about. Like, there's still a lot of areas in, like, women's health that there's just not enough open information about, to the point where actually, you know, the doctors are still following very traditional advice that doesn't really reflect the more recent research. So So there is something a little bit dated there. I don't know. I got very frustrated. I was like, just take my blood. Please.
Yeah, I agree. As you said, I feel like there's a lack of data and information, not just for the doctors, but like also to us as well. Mm. Because we don't really talk about it, like women's health in general. I mean, like the little stuffs we do, but like even like when I was freezing my eggs, like personality-wise, I would talk to it with my friends, mm-hmm. like both boy and girl. But so when I was like featured in a little TV program to talk about freezing my eggs, the editor told me that she asked about like 5 or 6 other people if they could also be on the show to talk about it, but all of them refused because it's not that they were doing anything wrong, of course, but they also didn't want to like show their name and faces and talk about freezing their eggs and like women's health in general, because like they just felt very uncomfortable about it, which I also understand. Mm-hmm. But because we really don't talk about it, like as you know, as a result, there is a lot of, you know, lack of information between us as well. And also because I wrote like a blog and about like where I did it and what the process was, how much it costs. And I made that blog post 400 yen mm-hmm. because I didn't want, you know, everybody to be able to see like my receipts and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just 400 yen, but I put some okane to it. I made it yuryo. And then I posted that like October last year or like November, but it still sells every single month. And it's not like I have followers on this blog or anything. I think it's just simply that people don't have the information. So, you know, they come to my blog because there's probably only like 4 or 5 blog posts which talk about it. Mm. So, yeah. And I also didn't have enough information. I just coincidentally talked to one of my girlfriends and she had done it. So she had information. So I kind of took the information from her. So yeah, I do think like not talking about women's health in general kind of leads to the lack of information and knowledge.
Yeah. Oh, and can we quickly just talk about the fact that like even if you freeze your eggs, you have to have permission from your husband to get your eggs?
Well, for me, I did it, like, I'm not married, so I did it as, like, a single person. So I didn't need any, I don't need any agreement or anything.
Yeah.
But for some hospitals, you do need to show, not the agreement of your husband, but you do need to show, the legal document to say that you're married.
The marriage keiaku.
Yeah, I mean, like, the... nanti unda?
Marriage certificate.
Yeah, marriage certificate. Because otherwise, some people would try to freeze their eggs. I mean, like, for me, it was freezing the eggs and not the embroidery. Like, it's not a jusera. Like, yeah. I don't have the sperm on it. It's just my eggs. But for a married couple, they can also, you know, have
freeze
it.
Embryo.
Yeah. Yeah, for that you need to do, for that you need to have the marriage certificate because some people might do it with if they're having an affair.
Yeah, then the
hospital will be sued for that. But also, then again, like even for married couples, some of the hospitals in Tokyo don't require a marriage certificate. So it really depends on the hospital.
Okay, so I think I just got it wrong because I have a friend of a friend. Well, two of them. So one of them worked at like, I think it was like Unilever, and one of them worked at Google or something.
Okay.
Two like big American companies. And I think they pay for it for their female employees to get their egg freezing because it's part of their health package, also probably to get them to work for longer.
Mm.
But anyway, they do that. And then both of the girls were saying that they couldn't get, I think both of them were single actually, but maybe this was a couple of years ago, maybe things have changed, but they were saying that like both of them, they couldn't have access to their eggs in Japan unless their future husband or whoever were to sign the thing. So maybe I just understood it wrong.
I think but it just really depends on the hospital then, because okay. even some of the hospitals, you can take out your eggs and sell mm-hmm. it. Like it's off record, but there are hospitals that you can take out the eggs and just sell if you decide not mm-hmm. to use it. So yeah, it depends, I think. But okay. like overall, like in Tokyo, it's becoming, you know, like for singles, like for me, like for people who aren't married, it's not covered by insurance. So it costs a huge amount of money. But from this autumn or winter, like they're going to like not just as like a shikentekini, like as a experiment, they're going to reduce the price. Like less than half, it's going to be quite cheap than it is now. And yeah. I think if more people have access to it because of that pricing, then I think Tokyo itself won't have anything to lose because the number of people are doing it is going to increase. But
yeah.
if it doesn't, then I think it's just going to go back to normal. But we'll see.
We'll see. Nadia,
yeah,
Nadia.
Yeah. But I guess like these are the things that we feel like we can't talk about in Tokyo openly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I was actually thinking when I chose this topic, I was like, this is, I feel like that we're going to get some really silly things coming up as well, because there's some really silly things that I would have liked to discuss too, but it ended up being quite like a serious, like, episode. Okay, last question, quick one, right. just to finish off. If you wanted to bring up something with someone and it was difficult to talk about, how would you do it?
How would I do it? I would do it over alcohol.
Oh, see, Janice. Yeah.
No, I don't think Janice.
Okay. Okay.
Hanawa, what would you do if you had to bring up
Hanawa? Hanawa, shit sando. Sandwich. Shit sandwich.
What does that mean? No.
Shit sandwich. To wa, ano, yazashi koto yette de sono inikui koto sono manaka ni irechatte de saigo wa so mata nanka ii koto yazashi koto ne sore wa shit sandwich
right
zehi tsukatte kudasai minna san
shit sandwich yatte miru
yeah
言いづらいことね、言いづらいこととか話しにくいことってなんか性格的にあんまり人よりそれは少ないけど、それでもやっぱり定期的にあるもんね、なんか言いづらいなとか、mm. It also depends on who you're saying it to, right? Like if that person is flexible to accept anything or not.
Yeah, and you have to like read the room as well.
Yeah.
The delivery is never going to be the same for two people. It does require some emotional intelligence.
I think so too.
But always, I think it's probably worth, if it's difficult to talk about, I think it's definitely worth talking about.
Yeah. And then you also understand like, okay, this person, like she or he probably felt uncomfortable with this topic. It means that like we're not on the same page if we're talking about this category, or you know, like you can kind of see like what kind of relationship you want with the other person as well.
Yeah, and they might even open you up to think something else as well, something different.
Yeah. So we talked about things that we don't want to talk about in life in this episode. So by talking about it, I hope you and Hannah and myself, you as in the audience, bonded a little bit. So if you have any ideas for other topics that you want to talk with us, or if you want to even come in as a guest, please let us know. 今日も30分間という間でしたが、東京でというか日本であんまり喋りたくない、喋ったらタブーだと言われてそうな話題についてあえてこのエピソードでちょっと触れてみたんですけれども、まあ、なんかそういう話をすることで逆にね、こう信頼関係が深 深まったりとかもするので、ぜひこのエピソードで私たちとの信頼が深まってたらいいななんて思います。他にも喋ってほしいエピソードとか、まあ、ゲストとして入りたいよみたいな人がいたらいつでも全然ウェルカムなので、DM コメントください。
Bye. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye. Thank you.